Ready? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another program with the Sheikh Hamza Sodagar, the Sheikh from Los Angeles, in a lot of better weather than we are at the moment, where parts of our UK are now surrounded by white snow. London has missed it so far in the southeast, but I'm not here to tell you about the weather. I'm here to tell you that last week we embarked on Akhlaq from a different perspective, which was also looking at general principles. We covered Surat al-Fath. We covered aspects of Surat al-Hujurat, and we covered talk on Ruhuma Bainahum, approach of being Rahim from the Rahim, which comes from Rahim and Rahima, which talks about not in a particular action, but but it does talk about showing mercy and abundance. We spoke about Surah Maida, verse number 5, when we looked at Muslimin, and we came across something that really also kind of educated me a little bit more, was when you spoke about Adilati Mu'mineen, we talked about breaking that down to being a dhalil, which had a connotation of belittling, and we were addressing the believers. Allah was addressing the believers, and he said God would definitely bring a people that they should lower themselves. And he spoke heavily about lowering ourselves, because it's in many instances we can see ourselves more in a light of being superior. And what I took from that was the fact that inferiority can only be caused in contradiction or in comparison to somebody feeling that they are superior. And it's in that light that somebody also starts to feel inferior. You looked at looking at ayat which also mentioned Azzatil lil Kafirin, which spoke about feeling superior in relation to the Kafirin. And then we spoke about not feeling superior in any form or way. For example, in racism, that nobody is superior to another, especially when it comes to our color, our ethnicity, and all of those kind of things, our creed. You spoke about the Prophet in terms of Surat al-Hujurat, and you also mentioned Hazrat Isa, alayhi wasalam, in terms of his attitude his akhlaq with his own disciples. And you mentioned, you gave a very good example of Jesus, Hazrat Isa, washing the feet of his disciples and saying that this is what you should also do, and follow suit with people. That also helps you to, and I don't think you use the word humble, but I'm going to use it here, because I know that when in instances where we do help other people or do good things for them, it also humbles us in a lot of ways. And you spoke about verse number 10, innama mu'minina wa ikhwa. And you spoke about that as iqwa is in the masculine form. And you spoke about siblings and our duty that must go hand in hand with trying to separate the issue when one becomes angry with another one. And our job or our duty or responsibility is to bring them together, but bringing them together correctly with justice against injustice. You also spoke about advising on their behavior. So it's important to let people know that any kind of injustice that is being caused with another person shouldn't happen. You spoke, there were side points on verse 11, a people should not mock another people, because it doesn't make you superior, and mockery is very, very much frowned upon. And in the verse translated, it is perhaps they are better than you. That is as far as I can remember. If there is any shortcomings here, Sheikh, please forgive me.
Astaghfirullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much for that recap. And we hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability to study further these beautiful verses of the Quran that teach us how to live. And honestly, if we were to implement these, we will internally feel a form of peace that Jannah would start right here. And if everybody collectively does that, then everybody will be feeling that, and it would be Jannah right here on earth. I want to continue with, I keep using this word, I feel redundant, but we still haven't gotten to specifics of, you know, a particular scenario, a particular relationship. These are general principles of relationship with people. How we should behave, how we should feel towards people, and general advice regarding behavior. So one thing was feeling, thinking. Those are things that we addressed, I think, before, up to the previous session. This week, or this session, I want to mention verse 134 of Surah Al-Imran. There are other verses that do mention some of these, but that collection of advice here is something that I wanted to present. So this comes to behavior now. We're not talking about the way we feel, as we discussed in the last sessions. We're gradually making it to more tangible behavioral examples of how to behave and how not to behave. And I hope I can explain it well where we're able to take from this. The verse says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ. Because it describes a people that were spoken of in the previous verse, although our focus is 134, I'm going to read 133 first and then get to this, because this describes those who've been mentioned in verse 133. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And you should all try to race to and try to speed towards what? إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. غُفْرَان. I don't want to discuss the topic of غُفْرَان. It's generally understood as forgiveness, but it's not that. That's very oversimplifying it. Anyhow, from your Lord, so race or speed towards that, all of you together. وَجَنَّةٍ. And towards a Jannah, a garden that عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. The breadth of it or the width of it is that of the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It's already prepared. Not that it will be prepared. It's already there. It's already prepared. لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. For those who are careful with their deeds. So muttaqin are mentioned here. And it gave us that reminder. There's always, this is related to akhlaq. And I want to make this connection here. Let's not forget, the goal of akhlaq is always connected with those akhlaqi points. Why are you behaving in this way? What's so good about it? It's because this is sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannah. You will get to a relationship with your Lord, pleasing your Lord, and so on and so forth. And a person who has this is a muttaqi. Muttaqi is someone who's careful. They are wary. They are worried about what they're doing. They're cautious. They think about what they do. And what you see of them is not that whatever comes to their mind, whatever they feel, they just engage in it, indulge in it, and do it. That's what taqwa means. But taqwa can be towards different things. What are you careful of? Are you careful of the government? Are you careful of society? Please them? Are you careful of your parents? Are you careful of your siblings? Are you careful of your friends? Careful of what? says اتقوا الله. Okay, so the muttaqin that is mentioned is being careful of Allah. I'm concerned about how God is looking towards me. Am I favored by Him? Am I pleasing Him? Am I not? Taking care of myself in my behavior, watching out, is called having taqwa. So muttaqin. This Jannah has been prepared for the muttaqin. See that connection? The purpose, the objective, and then it gets to specific guideline. Who are muttaqin? What is it that they do? We get to verse 134. It says, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who give infaq, فِي السَّرَّاءِ. سَرَّاءِ is when things are pleasant, you're at ease, you're happy. In those happy moments, this is called sarra. Dharra is obviously the opposite of it. Whether you're happy, things are going well, you have a ton of cash, in those times you're feeling good, you have a lot, or you're in dharra, times are difficult, you're upset, you're down, you're not feeling well, things are not going well, your business isn't going well, family relations aren't going well, there's trouble, there's problems, there's difficulty. Okay, those times that we don't feel like giving. In both cases, they give. Okay, I'm going to come back to this because this is not what we generally think of what infaq means. What we think of infaq generally is, all right, charity. Okay, I don't want to say I hate that word, but I'm really starting to get agitated because what we mean by charity is, oh, there's these poor people, we feel sorry for them, let's give them. That has nothing to do with infaq in Islam. Okay, not that we don't give those, but this approach and that definition is not what it is. Okay, not just in this instance, generally. So anyhow, I'm going to get back to that. What type of akhlaqi advice this is, how we can relate it. This isn't something that, oh, let's find some people, give them a little something and make sure whether I'm feeling good or I'm feeling bad, I give to them. No, it's much, much more broad than that. Inshallah, we'll get to it. So that's one piece of advice. And one description, muttaqin are like this. يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Second description of muttaqin, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Okay. I was looking at Allama Tabatabai's explanation. I find his to be most complete, available. Out of the various ones I've checked many different tafsirs, and his is definitely, in terms of a book, there is a better tafsir that I find generally when that is available, and that's Ayatollah Khamenei's tafsir. I've generally found that to be even more complete. But the thing is that we don't have a whole tafsir of the Quran, and whatever verse you want to look up, you just go and see what his tafsir is. There's few instances that are available to us. There's a lot of tafsir he has done, but it's not been gathered together in the form of a book. Anyhow, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ. People generally, we all have an understanding of this, like swallowing your anger or whatever. But the detail, that the specifics of this and what exactly it means will help us better understand what this description is and what this advice is. Kazm is, the original usage of the word is that when a container is filled, okay, you put a cap on it so it doesn't overflow. Okay, so we get the connection between that and anger. But the problem is here, or not the problem, but the word ghayz, okay, we generally translate that as anger. Now, I haven't done too much research on the English word anger. Okay, we have a few words that are roughly the same meaning, but the specifics are sometimes different. If we check the dictionary, we might be able to find a more accurate equivalent for the word ghayz. There's two words in Arabic that we tend to see as synonymous, but they are different. One is ghayz that we have here. The other is ghadab. Okay, ghadab is more generally used for anger, meaning in the translations as far as I've seen. But both seem to be mentioned there. And another word, for instance, in English is wrath. Now, again, I haven't really checked the dictionary to see what the differences are. Those intricate details are what we're looking for. What is this exactly? Allama Tabatabai explains, and he's gotten it from dictionaries. He didn't make this up. He says that ghadab is the irada, the decision, the will, rather, okay, to react to a wrongdoing of the other person. Okay, iradatul intiqam. Intiqam isn't revenge in the specific and the negative, I guess, meaning that it has developed, the connotations that it has developed. It's reacting to something wrong that was done. Okay, the decision or the will, because those are slightly different. The will to react to something wrong. Okay, that's called ghadab. That the word in Arabic is called ghadab. Ghayz is hayajanul at-tab'a. Okay, hayajan is the excitement of tab', your feelings, the way you feel in regards to reacting to something you identify as wrong to you. So it has to do with the feeling you get. Okay. So one is the ghadab is the will to do something in response to something wrong, and ghayz is the feeling, strong urge to do something. Those are two different things. The will to do it comes in us generally after we have those feelings, we make the decision, then we execute that. The execution is where the will is. The decision, you make a decision to do something, you don't really have the will. The will is exactly when it happens. When you execute it, the will was there and it happened. You reacted, responded to a wrong that was done to you. Or a wrong that was done, whichever way. Now, the important thing is that ghadab is used for Allah. Ghadib Allah. Ghadabun min Allah. Banu Israel, the Jews, when they did wrong, it says, Waba'u bi ghadabin min Allah. They wanted, they took wrath. And that's where the word wrath is usually used in the cases where it's talking about ghadab of Allah. I've seen the equivalents being used as wrath. Again, I don't know if that is the right word, but that's generally what's used. So he says that God has the will to respond to the wrongdoing of a person. The punishment, retribution that a person receives as a response to their wrongdoing is intiqam. Okay, and there was a will for it. That's called ghadab. That is called ghadab. And you have that. It's used for Allah, and that's why it can be used. But this hayajanul tab, the feelings that are strong, just rising, the temperatures rising, the temper rising, the color, the red color that's seen on the person's face rising. Okay, that hayajanul tab, that's something that has not been used for Allah, because that's a feeling. That is a natural internal feeling that develops as a response. It's something that changes within. Okay, that has not been used for Allah, because that will be a deficiency, and therefore it's not used for Allah. Now, all of this talk about the definition and whether it's used for Allah or not is to get us to understand what this is. See, we get this strong urge that is almost uncontrollable. Okay, it's very, very difficult to control. That wild beast that's inside is just about to burst out because of these very strong feelings. So it's kadhimin al-ghayz. So a muttaqi is someone that when that starts happening in them, they put a cap on it. It does not overflow. This doesn't mean they don't respond. It doesn't mean that what their response is, or it doesn't mean they don't over-respond. It doesn't mean any of that. It has to do with the feelings. The feelings are capped. Okay, they do not reveal themselves at all. Not a little bit. Feelings, in other words, for a mu'min, that when wrong is done to them, those feelings that happen, a cap is put on, it stays within. It doesn't reflect. Okay. The feelings. Okay. We keep emphasizing. Ghayz has to do with the feeling. Here it doesn't say they limit it. Putting a cap means it keeps it in the container. Okay, the container being us, it comes, it doesn't come out, it doesn't flow out. It fills the person, that rage fills a person up, but you put a cap on top, it doesn't overflow, which means it doesn't come out. It's not shown. It doesn't come out. The feeling is capped, all right? The feeling is capped. How a person responds to wrong is a completely different thing. Is ghadab wrong? In other words, intending to respond, the will to respond to a wrong done to the person, that there's a set of laws for it. In some cases, it's allowed. In some cases, it's necessary, depending on what the wrong is. Is it towards me as a person? Is it towards Islam? How it is? Those are all different scenarios that a response must be given. But is that response based on this feeling that just something wrong was done to me and I'm going crazy here with that strong feeling? No, that is capped. The feeling is not the reason why the person responds. The reason why the person responds is, okay, this person did this to me. God, what's your advice? In some cases, forgive, which is the next line we're going to, again, this is not specific cases. It's telling us something general we'll get. But in the cases where it applies, forgive. Don't respond at all. Okay. So I cap the feeling. Now, should I have a response at all? A little bit? A lot? What should it be? In some cases, forgive. Okay. Forgive. In some cases, smile. In some cases, respond with good words. Whatever God says is going to be my response. The way I deal with that feeling is cap it. Okay, it should not come out at all. Whatever amount of it comes out, the feeling, that hayajan, that the, I guess the best word is the feeling, right? There's no other word I can use, or at least I can think of. So that's two. We're going to get back to that as well. We just have a general understanding right now. We need to start thinking of how this applies to all of us in what context. What does this mean a little more practically? And this is, you know, that stage, that part of it is all of us thinking. I'm going to present what comes to my mind, but, you know, that's after having understood what this verse is telling us, the wording of the verse. The next line we have is وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Afu, they have explained that it means to omit, to erase something. Okay. It's to erase something. Afina al-nas is obviously in the case where nas, people, have done something that you have a right to be upset at them. You have a right to retaliate. You have a right to say something, to do something. In cases we don't even have a right, that's a whole different story. Okay, there's cases where we feel offended where we were not offended. That's my problem. There are cases that I'm angry at this person for what they did. The problem is actually me, not them. Okay, there are plenty of such cases. We're not dealing with those right now. This is not talking about that. And let's stop thinking we're always right and, you know, everybody else is always wrong. That's another problem in us that we need to get rid of. In cases where there is actually a legitimate reason for me to think about retaliation, to do and respond to the wrong that was done to me in words or in action, different cases, different. Generally, the approach of a muttaqi is al-afin an-nas. It's my right. It has to do with me because that's what I have a right to forgive. Things that are not mine, they're God's. God says, if this happens, you have to respond in this way. That's none of my business. I don't have a right to forgive or not to forgive. Things that are mine. I had a right. Somebody violated my right. It's up to me. God, it's up to me. What should I do? Generally, al-afin an-nas. Their approach towards people is afu. Now, going back to that word afu, afu means not forgiving. When we say forgive, okay, at least the meaning that is generally understood, and we see a lot because of the conversations related to that word and that concept, is to not retaliate, not to hold them up for the wrong they did, charge them with something, take them to court, make them pay something, say something wrong there, or whatever. Okay. Now, this isn't, if this is what we're talking about, if that's the real meaning of forgiveness, that's not what afu is. Afu is more than that. What is afu? Afu means it's erased. Okay. So what's the difference? The difference is if you don't charge that person, you don't take them to court. What about here? Is there a scar left here of what they did? You feel bad about them. You see them. You have that negative feeling, whatever level of it, whether it's, oh, I really want to beat the heck out of this person, or I really want to retaliate, or I really want to do something. Or even if it's not that, just a negative feeling because of what they did. If it's there, that's not afu. Afu means erase. It's the person didn't do it. Person didn't do it. That's what I have a choice. I can choose not to behave in my external organs, in my eyes, in my tongue, with my tongue, with my hand, the way I react and respond to them. I can control that and say, I'm not going to look at them angrily. I'm not going to use my limbs in whatever way, whether it's writing something, charging, whatever it is. That's one part of it. Af is not limited to that. Af has to do with the internal aspect as well. This is very important, very important. A lot of times, and that's one of the conversations I was talking about when it comes to forgiveness. A lot of times, especially in cases which is most important, and that's where the relationship is closed, which means that they're seeing each other 24/7, which is in a spousal relationship, husband and wife. You're going to be together for years in the same house, and there's no escape. Okay. And you're going to do things that the other person is going to do something that I'm not going to like. Okay. And in some cases, in the cases that I actually have a right, he or she did something that was actually wrong. Not the cases that I misunderstood, none of any of that. The cases where he or she actually did something that I have a right to be upset and to hold it up against them, do something, say something. I have that. Okay. Something wrong was said, for example. She or he, whoever, accused me of something. I didn't have that in mind. Those words hurt a lot more than, it's not about, you know, the shoe or the pan or the the fist or any of these words really hurt. Okay. You don't expect it from your love. Okay. And so we forgive, but that forgiveness is that, okay, I'm not going to respond in words. I'm not going to respond with my hands or with, I'm not going to do that. Okay. What about here? If the person really got it out, it's afina an nas. This is one example of it. If that really happened, then it's gone. It's omitted. It's not there. It's not something that next time, if she does it again, that the pain is going to, the cut, the scar is going to reopen again. And then that's going to be when it's going to be more difficult to manage. And then that ghaydh is going to be more serious. And then the kadhm of that ghaydh and capping that feeling is going to be a lot more difficult. So, afina anin nas. Afina, completely omit. The person didn't even do it. I didn't see that. I didn't hear that. Well, this is what the advice. So this is, again, that example was for understanding what this concept is. Now let's go back and see from the beginning, the first one, see what this means in terms of giving. Okay, so the first one was giving for sarra wa dharra. The first thing I want to clarify is who said infaq means giving money. Okay, only limited to that. That's one thing to think of. Giving is giving help, giving support, giving words, and whatever that I can do for another. Giving money is only one portion, maybe even a smaller portion compared to the rest of what can be done. In fact, definitely less than the other portions. Giving money is a smaller portion. The amount of times we need to give money in our lives, is a lot less than we need to give other things. Giving words, good words, helpful words, supportive words, whether it's advice and genuine advice, not an advice that's rubbing some, I don't know, trying to get back at a person. Sometimes giving advice is, unfortunately, it's really retaliation. It's not giving advice. I'm trying to prove that I know better than you. You don't know how to deal with this situation. I want to give you this advice. It sometimes comes with a feeling of superiority and considering them inferior. They don't know and they need to be told. We've seen, unfortunately, plenty of that. No, genuine advice where a person feels that perhaps this word can help, and I'm offering that without anything else really involved. Those words are more important. Loving words. Okay. Loving words in so many different ways. A small joke here or there in the right place. You know, here, let's go back to the rest of Fisarat wal Dara. When I'm feeling well, I'm joking, laughter. When I'm not feeling well, nothing. Well, this is a situation. You need to say something that is helpful. Clear up the situation. Try to help your children with those words, your spouse, your parent, your people around you, friends, whoever is around you. So it includes words. It includes help. I actually have prepared, if you allow me, to go over a hadith. We want to go from the Quran. Now, based on this idea of infaq fi sarra'i wal dharra, I want to read a hadith. We said the Quran is the basis. Everything else is going to be helping us with the Quran. So what we hear from the Ahlul Bayt, it conforms with the Quran. If anything attributed to them doesn't conform with it, it's rejected. If it does, then we take it. So there's this hadith. I want to try to pull up. Yes, I have prepared. And it has to do with, and I don't, the parts that I can, I think have been more repeatedly mentioned in this hadith, have to do with assistance, okay? In a context that there's always trouble in, okay? There's always trouble in. And I'm not talking about activism or, you know, helping in the community, cleaning up the mosque, or, I don't know, doing some, those are all part of infaq as well. Fis-sarra' wal-dharr, all of that applies, okay? But because our discussion is more related to akhlaq, we want to understand the topic of infaq fi sarra'i wal dharra in the context of cases and scenarios that we can more clearly see and identify as instances of akhlaq, and places where those akhlaqi issues become a serious problem. Okay. So let me read this hadith. I'm reading to you from a book called Jami' al-Akhbar from an author or compiler by the name of Ash-Sha'iri, one of our scholars, in the 6th century. This is an era, a time where there are less well-known scholars during this period. We have scholars up to the 5th century that are very well-known, like Shaykh At-Tusi, and then 7th century onwards, we start having Muhaqqiq Hilli, Allama Hilli, and so on. This period of the 6th century, we don't have too many very, very well-known scholars. This doesn't mean that they didn't exist, but there's less of them that we are. So this is one of those scholars. He's compiled this book in the 6th century. The chapter, he says, أَسْفَاسْ أَسْتُونَ فِي مَا يُسْتَحَبُّ عِنْدَ دُخُولِ الْعَرُوسِ فِي الْبَيْتِ وَفِي بَيَانَ أَوْقَاتِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَالْمَكْرُوهَ. Different things that are mentioned. The whole chapter is about when you bring a bride in. This is translating what the words are. So the wording here, this is not hadith, this is the wording of the scholar. So when a man marries a woman and she becomes the bride, and that bride is brought into his house. When a man marries a woman and they're living together, there's etiquettes, okay? There's etiquettes. This hadith that I have in mind, actually, I think this went to the wrong one. I'm like, okay, this doesn't sound like the one that I thought the chapter's title was a little off. And Let me see if this is going to do it. Okay. Yes. So I'm sorry, I was reading. Yeah, it was the right the right screen, but I was reading the wrong section. I thought it's the beginning of the chapter. It's from the previous chapter, actually. Anyhow, so عن علي عليه الصلاة والسلام, أمير المؤمنين has told us this. قال دخل علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وفاطمة جالسة عند القدر وأنا أنقي العدس. The Prophet entered upon us, and Fatima, salamullahi alayha, ruhi laha al-fida, is sitting by the qidr. Qidr is the water container where they kept water in the house. Wa ana unaqqi al-adas. I was cleaning lentils. Adas is lentils. So there's in some regions there's a lot of different types of lentils. Apparently, the ones that the word adas is used, as far as I know, are the dark lentils. That are a bit larger than some of the others, not the red ones and not the other ones. So أنا أنقي العدس. I was cleaning. You know, when didn't have all that machinery. When you would buy عدس outside, it was filled with little twigs, sticks, or stones and stuff. You don't want to get that in your teeth. So they had to clean this before cooking it. Who's doing that? أمير المؤمنين صلّى الله عليه. The man of the house is sitting down cleaning عدس. I remember one of the teachers, he repeatedly mentioned this, okay, when he wanted to advise men to help their spouses in the house with housework. This specific, he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen used to do this. He used to use this example. It comes from this hadith. But I didn't know of the rest of the hadith. We only heard that example of his behavior, which itself teaches a lot. But the words that the Holy Prophet said, seeing this, so there you go right there. The spouses are helping each other, taking care of the things in the house, okay? This notion that one person is responsible for the house and then the other person is responsible for outside and nobody gets involved with the other, which has become culture in many, unfortunately, in many areas, to the extent where you hear from Muslims, non-Muslims, if a guy helps at home, that is like, oh my God, this guy helped. That's very unfortunate. That's not supposed to be something rarely found. That's supposed to be something that's commonly found. Anyhow, قال, the Prophet said, according to the account, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, the Prophet said, Ya Aba al-Hasan, قُلْتُ لَبَّيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The way Amir al-Mu'mineen responds to the Holy Prophet. I mean, that setup is just mesmerized, thinking of it, not even seeing it. The Holy Prophet entering house, Fatima is there, Amir al-Mu'mineen is there. This is the condition. And then the Prophet begins to speak. Amir al-Mu'mineen responds, لَبَّيْكَ. This is like the best way. It's what you do in Hajj, you say لَبَّيْكَ. You're responding to Allah. His word to the Prophet, as soon as he called his name, يَا أَبَا الْحَسَنِ لَبَّيْكَ. He said, yes, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Messenger of God. قال, اسمع مني. The Prophet said, hear from me وما أقول, and what I'm saying to you. وما أقول إلا من أمر ربي. Sorry, I misread that. He said, listen to me, and this is not my word, what I'm saying. These are not from me. ما أقول, I'm saying, or I do not speak. ما أقول إلا من أمر ربي. Or except for what my Lord has commanded me. Then it goes on. مَا مِن رَجُلٍ يُعِينُ مْرَأَتَهُ فِي بَيْتِهَا إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ عَلَى بَدَنِهِ عِبَادَةُ سَنَةٍ صِيَامٍ نَهَارُهَا وَقِيَامٍ لَيْلُهَا. This one line is enough for us. He says, there isn't a man that assists his wife in her house. Now, we need to have a whole conversation about how this house that is one that the man has purchased and he's responsible to take care to have that is referred to, and not this hadith and many hadith, as her house. Okay, this is generally how it's worded. So there isn't a man that assists his wife in her house except that for every hair on his body. Now, this is where maybe men with more hair can be a little more proud of that. Every single hair on their body, ibadatu sanatin, there is a worship of a year. Okay. For every single hair on that body. What type of ibadah worship of a whole year? Siyamin naharuha, every day the person has fasted. Wa qiyamin layluha, and every night they've woken for the night prayer. Okay. So you're worried about waking up for the night prayer and not being able to, you're tired, you're this, you're that, because of whatever. Okay, you do this, and it counts for a whole year of doing that and fasting the whole day. You have trouble fasting, mustahabbat, mustahab fast. The Prophet says, if a man helps his wife in the house, the angels will count every single hair on that person's body. For every single one, Allah will give you the worship of 1 year. There's a couple of things to say before I continue, because you're going to be helping us with the rest of it. The first thing that comes to mind is, remember that it's not the case that this is for a man only. Why do we say that? Firstly, because of the verse, infaq is general. So you're assisting. The wife is assisting when she works in the house. She's helping and he's helping. And there's no discrimination. The Quran says again, whoever does good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow one bit of that to be lost. Okay. Anyone, male, female. Okay. If that's the case, then, but the verse says, the hadith says a man. Well, the reason is obvious. Because men are generally more active outside, they need to be told more that this is what it is. So when you get home, help there too. Okay, don't just say, well, I provided this, that, the other. Now I want to say, bring me tea, bring me this. Or I just don't care, I just do whatever. It's expected for the women to do it. Those thought process, it's not just then. Amongst the Arabs, it's across the board. It's pretty much, unless a people decide to go by these lines of advice, this is what's going to happen. Now, why did I say, this applies to women as well? What's important, the hadith is talking to men here specifically. They're addressed. We, based on reasons we explained and other reasons, said this is not limited to a man. It's also for women. The emphasis for a man for that reason. Otherwise, this is telling us what the reward of this action is, assisting another person in this house. Now, this particular case that's being mentioned, there's a lot of emphasis is required. The reason why we said women are not excluded from this, in fact, there are ahadith that tell us the reward is more than this. Okay. But at least this. The reason why we say that is there's a need to repeat these lines for women as well. Now, because we've chosen a hadith that emphasizes on men, I don't want to leave that part out. There's a number of hadith in various wording. For example, jihad al-mar'a husnul taba'ul, taking care of the husband is jihad. Jihad is much more rewarding than the rewards that are mentioned here. It's important that we see that whether it's the man or the woman doing this for their spouse, for their children, that it's an ibadah of Allah, that if you think these other ibadah that are specific, like fasting, like prayer in the middle of the night, like jihad, which are all great worships, don't consider this to be less than them. Okay. We are Muslimin. We are, inshallah, mu'mineen. We believe in the hereafter. We believe that the rewards are more rewarding when they're in the hereafter. The rewards of the hereafter are much more. There are rewards here, but the rewards of the hereafter are much more important. We understand that. And in fact, the wording here is telling us not the rewards. It doesn't say it increases your rizq. It doesn't say it increases your health. It doesn't give you any of that. What does it say? It says it's like fasting and praying for a whole year, each of the hair in your body. That's so multiplied by millions, perhaps, or hundreds of thousands. I don't know. I don't have any count. I don't know exactly what that would equate to. it's important in these relationships to understand that me assisting this other person who is called my spouse or is called my child, this isn't a burden that somebody needs to just take on. Why does it have to be me? And whoever it is, men, know that if you come in as tired as you are, but you see something and you don't like it. For instance, there's something on the floor. The house is not too tidy. You have two options. One option is to look at that, feel angry at why that's not done, expecting another person, either the children because they made the mess, perhaps, or the wife because whether whoever made it, she's supposed to be cleaning it. You have one option. When you get in, you see that, you get upset, you get angry. That's one option. That is the option of a person who doesn't understand that verse. يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Yeah, I'm tired. This is a dharra. I'm tired. I just arrived home from work. I had a bad day. They said this. They said that. I had to do these different things. It was a very difficult day. Now I walked in. This is the case of what? Dharra. The verse said, يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. I'm very unhappy. I came in. You want to do infaq or not? The approach of the person who doesn't look at that verse, they allow themselves to feel angry, even if they control that. They just get upset. They don't say anything. They don't say, why didn't you clean this? Why is the house a mess? None of that. They only got upset and they decided to go get a drink or whatever and sit down and relax. Oh, that's the approach of someone who doesn't see that verse and based on the verse hasn't seen this hadith. The person who is moving towards Allah, is doing tazkiyatun nafs, is listening to this, like, oh, there's an opportunity. Infaq is possible. I can't just decide to give. If there isn't anyone to take, there's nothing to be given. There's an opportunity to give. Not money, work. Go pick it up, clean it. And then, the general idea the verse gave, now the words of the Prophet here that conforms with that, a man that comes in, you are responsible. Man is responsible outside. That is definitely the case. A woman is not, according to Islam, it's not wajib to do these specific things. No, it's almost a habbat. For a man, it's wajib to make money. Now, nowadays, there's people working from home, but the work that is related to outside to make money is a responsibility. It's wajib on a man. Coming home, now you have this infaq condition that you have this available, giving. Okay, you can't create an opportunity. But here is an opportunity you can give, and the rewards are what is mentioned here. Let me continue with the hadith a little more, because as much as we mentioned these scenarios, which is good, it allows us to think. I hope we're all doing this. I was thinking of my cases, okay? I'm not thinking of anybody else's. I'm thinking of my cases, walking into the house, and I had a tough day. I'm tired, thirsty, hungry, all of that. I'm getting home and then coming across something that is not pleasant. Okay, well, that unpleasant thing that needs cleaning up or food that's not made for whatever reason. There's no responsibility anyway, okay, on the wife. But the reason why I give these examples because the one who's speaking here is a man. So I'm talking from experience. We read the general advice from the verse. We are reading and we explain how this is general. The examples I'm going to give are generally my own experiences, my own examples that come to my mind, what I should have corrected and I should try to correct myself. But again, the idea is more general, and everyone can think for themselves and see what they can look back at and think first in their head and try to correct the way they were thinking. And the next time it happens, see how we need to behave in these conditions. So these scenarios are good to make us think, but the hadith is going to give this encouragement. If we get this straight in our head, we won't be thinking that comparing myself to the other person or to other people. Why am I doing this? Why they're not doing, which in many cases is wrong. Okay. Again, speaking from experience, many cases I've thought, you know, why do I have to always do that? Then God blesses me and makes me think, who says you always do that? Why are you thinking you're always doing that? You're not realizing that they're doing it mostly. In a few cases, you're doing it and you're saying you're doing it always and they're not doing it. That's injustice. Okay. Our thought process will change. I don't care if the other person did it to, that's their taklif to Allah or what they're going to be getting. My thing is with Allah. Allah says, I love to see you in this. I love to see you doing this. You're worshiping me. Change the way we think. The rest of the hadith in adds a lot more. It says, وَأَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ, so that 1 year, for every hair on his body, that's only one part of it. It says, وَأَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنَ الثَّوَابِ مِثْلَ مَا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ الصَّابِرُونَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَدَاوُدَ النَّبِيِّ وَيَعْقُوبُ وَعِيسَى عَلَيْهِمَ. The rewards he will give is going to be similar. God will give is similar to the rewards of those who are identified by God to be patient. Like Prophet Dawood, like Prophet Ya'qub. Just think of, we are more familiar with the patience of Ya'qub. Now, it's interesting, we need to look into the cases of Dawood and Isa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhim as-salam and see why they are specifically mentioned in terms of patience. But the one that we all know more clearly is the patience of Ya'qub. I mean, just imagine how patient he had to be with not seeing his son, with his other children, and so on and so forth. God will give the rewards of sabirin. Then the Prophet says, من كان في خدمة العيال في البيت ولم يأنف. Another important thing here. Again, it's in conformance with the verse of the Quran. The verses of the Quran say, لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. That's, in this hadith is an instance of that. You give something, okay, again, sadaqa is not giving money to someone that you feel you're more privileged. No, that's not. Sadaqat are generally mustahabbat. We have a kiss on the cheek of one's spouse is a sadaqah. Okay. This is the meaning of sadaqah in Islam. It's general. So it says when you give sadaqah, don't nullify it. Don't make it void with bilmanni wal adha. The word adha is more general. I'll talk about adha is to bother, aggravate, in words, in whatever way. You give something, then you behave in a certain way, it makes a person want to feel like, you know, why did I even take it from this guy? Okay. Don't do that. You give, don't, because after you're giving, don't bother them for your gift, for what you gave. It says, من كان في خدمة العيال في البيت ولم يأنف. Person who is at the service of their عيال, the people they need to be taken care of, okay, they're the ones that they have to pay for their expenses, they're serving them. They serve them in whatever way, cleaning up a mess, cleaning out the house, washing clothes, making food, everything. These are examples that are least favored, okay? You can add other things like words that are very important many times. But these are the basic ones that everybody understand. All of it, the whole thing. مَنْ كَانَ فِي خِدْمَةِ الْعِيَالِ فِي الْبَيْتِ in the house, yeah, emphasis in the house, وَلَمْ يَأْنَفْ, doesn't act like, you know, he's aggravated, he's bothered, he doesn't like it. Oh, why do I have to do this? This is what we do. The bickering that happens while we're cleaning. How many times did I say, don't do this? And this is, again, applies to everybody, whether it's the father or the mother or whoever. Why do you guys always make a mess here? Why? Oh, what are you doing? You're ruining it all. Don't do that. Don't think this is teaching your child. I want to use this example too, again, from experience. I think I'm teaching the child that they need to be clean. You're not teaching your child to be clean at that moment. You're just angry and just whatever's coming out and you're calling it. No, it's not just what the verse says. لَمْ يَأْنَفْ. You're doing khidmah, you're helping, you're assisting, and do that. Complete it. Don't show any type of anger. There's another time that you can, when you don't feel like it's something you need to do, it's something that you can tell them. every now and tell him, look, it's better to be clean and stuff. Advise him, try to clean up your room. Do this. Be a little careful. Now you're doing this while you're doing it. You're saying all this stuff. How many times this? How many times time? I'm fixing, like, the washing machine needs a little fixing, and I happen to know how to fix it a little bit, and I go into it. I find this is not clean. That's not been taken care of. How many times did I say, you know, you got to clean this, change the filter every time? Lamia and if don't do this. Do your khidma, service. Without that, at the proper time, remind them, like, the filter does need to be clean. But not when you're doing this as you're just upset because you have to do this. You don't like what you're doing. No, like what you're doing because of this, because of what you're getting in reward. You're not doing this for free. If your relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an opportunity God gave you for you to gain much more than you could ever imagine. As much as you've tried to stay up in the middle of the night, do a proper salatul layl, you're doing this and it's going to count for years for each of your hair. You don't want to do this? وَلَمْ يَأْنَفْ. Now, that was from the previous reward. The reward that's mentioned here is كَتَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. So the emphasis here is you do that khidmah, you do that help, you do that assistance. This is an example of infaq in the context of the family. And it includes all. Children helping their parents, children helping other siblings when they're at an age where they can understand this. Parents serving their children, spouses serving each other and serving the family, each of them. It applies to everybody. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِسْمَهُ فِي دِيوَانِ الشُّهَدَاءِ. Oh my God. Your name will be written if there's no, that's very important. لَمْ يَأْنَفْ. This bickering, this showing that I'm unhappy, bringing it up. Remove all of that. You will be written in the book that contains the names of the shuhada. How many of us get the opportunity to be a shaheed? We hear, these are the days of remembering Shaheed Haj Qasim Soleimani. May Allah bless his soul. And Shaheed Haj Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. May Allah bless his soul, this great man, both of them. Who gets an opportunity to be of the shuhada? It says, if you are at the service of you, the people that are under you, you're taking care of them. As a parent, you're taking care of them. And you help them without none of that negative wording, language, behavior, even face. I found myself plenty of times, like, why are you, we don't like it, like, this is disgusting, why do I have to do this, why do I have to clean the garbage disposal, this, that, the other, so nasty, the toilets, this, that. No, remove that, you're doing this, the angels are counting this, God is seeing this, God is liking what you're doing, there's nothing, that stuff is going to get washed off, you're going to wash yourself, it's not going to stay with you, in fact, you're cleansing, if you're of the shuhada, we have hadith, that for a shaheed, the first drop of blood that reaches the earth, all of their filth has been washed off. I'm washing the toilet, I'm washing that filth off. My name is, if I do it in this way, if I don't have that angry face and come out, stand up and go out, like nobody can talk to me because I had to wash a toilet. Okay, why did you give it to me? Why didn't you do it yourself? None of that. Okay, my name will be put as shuhada. That means, similar to the shuhada, it's wiped off. The filth I have on me is much worse than the filth that's found on the toilet. Believe you me. Okay, how do I cleanse that? You can take some water, get some good smelling stuff, and you know, clean that toilet, and it's over. It's gone. You don't see it anymore. How do I cleanse this? How do I get rid of this? That on the day of judgment, the odor would be so horrible, nobody would be wanting to get close. Well, this is what you do. Bend down, wash that toilet. Wash the bathroom, clean it, tidy it yourself with this intention, without bringing up, without even having an angry face. Have a happy face because you're doing what a mujahid fi sabilillah. If we change, these hadith are for you and I. That verse is for you and I, brothers and sisters. Imagine what will happen in a family that one person starts doing this. One person starts. Don't wait for anyone else to start doing it. In a house of students that are living together, university, whatever, a family that's just been formed, spouses, a family that's been there, you have children, one person, well, you don't even, one person starts doing this, it'll change the mood of the whole house. Besides the apparent part that we see, obviously, when a person's, you start seeing that change in the behavior of the person, everybody else starts thinking. They start wanting to change themselves. Besides the apparent part, there's nur that comes there. I mean, you have a shaheed, a living shaheed. The name of that person is put in the book of shuhada. You have a shaheed, a living shaheed with you. There's light that comes with that. And it'll change. We need to, brothers and sisters, pray for me, inshallah, we pray for each other. I need to develop this. We all need this. And it becomes so beautiful, a relationship, any relationship. I gave all these examples. I'm not talking about any specific one. Any of them. Amongst friends, family, spouses, parent with child. One of the biggest issues we have, I want to maybe the last 1 minute because our time is up, I think I can say this. How many times I've heard good parents, very good parents, being the very good believers, but the way their relationship with their child is, that child just doesn't want to listen to them. That doesn't mean that person is doing good by not wanting to, but there is a fault in the parent as well, and that is that they didn't do this as much as they should sometimes. Sometimes it's very minimal. A lot of times their relationship with the child has been, I'm the authority, you need to listen to me. Lower the self. Khidmatul ayal, that applies to both parents towards their children. For a mother towards her children, a father towards her children, his children. Serve in that way, help in that way. A child who sees this from the parent, their relationship is going to be different from with that parent. Again, it starts from this side. Don't expect others to behave a certain way. I need to change myself first. Let me correct, see the faults, see the flaws, see the issues, see what I need to change in myself. And if I change that, you will see. I will see. Any part, and I'm sure all of us are like this, any time any of us has decided to change to what God has said, all of you can look at your own experiences, and I can look at my experience. We have found the response is right. It's what God says. It helps. It helps a whole lot. We got to look at these verses. We went over that first part. I'm sorry, I went over my time. يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ InshaAllah, next week we'll talk a little more about كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ, some instances, perhaps some other ahadith that can help us get, because the verses, I mean, it's amazing. These verses are so deep and they contain so much in so little words, okay? So to get to some of that, just get our minds to think about that, we've got to go through these ahadith because they come from people who understand the verses much greater than any of us do. Inshallah, we can talk about them next week.
Okay. I'm going to say afareen, Sheikh. That was amazing, mashallah. Definitely something for all of us, whether it be parents, young people, children, younger ones, adults, married couples. You've given us a whole platter here, Sheikh, full of things to take back with us. A lot of reflection. Obviously, everybody, you know, has their shortcomings, and unless they kind of look at or listen to you know, speeches such as yours or lectures that you know, describe the rewards that are to be had, we sometimes you know, don't give ourselves the opportunity to change or recognize that there are shortcomings within ourselves. Thank you so much. We look forward to part 5, inshallah, next week. This is the AMR of Fatima, Lady Fatima Zahra, Assalamu Alaiha, and there is a lot of things that we need to take back with us and learn from, not only her life as a center point, and I was discussing this with a sister yesterday on Project Zainab Live, of how she managed to kind of equate all her relationships, but she was, you know, a huge role model for, you know, especially us in this, in the modern times. But there's so much that we can learn from her demeanor, her responsibilities, her duties towards not only her father, but her husband, her children, her, you know, and people outside in the community also. But then also we learn from all of that is the justice that she did fight for. You know, she didn't let injustice come to her, but she actually spoke about something that we all need to learn from, is that if something is unjust towards us, that we should always try to fight for our rights. That was something very, very important to Lady Fatimah Zahra, salamu alayha. And no doubt, inshallah, her rights will also be avenged by Imam Ali, Imam Mahdi, jalla ta'ala farajahum, in coming years. And may Allah give us that time to actually witness that. If not, we'll also die knowing that we wanted that to be witnessed. But this is enough for Project Zen of Life today. Thank you very much again, Sheikh Hamza Sodakar, all the way from Los Angeles. And your time is really, really important to us too. But no doubt some people will be taking something back, because I know I definitely did from today's lecture. There is so much that we can take back from your lectures, inshallah. Looking forward to seeing you next week, next Wednesday, inshallah kareem. For those who haven't been able to tune in live, again, these videos are going out on YouTube, on Project Zainab channel. Please do tune in when you can, but these lectures will be available to you, you know, indefinitely, inshallah kareem. Looking forward to seeing Brother Shuhayb Ahmed from IMN, a very close follower of Sheikh Zakzaki, on Tuesday next week. There is a lot of work that he's also doing in the community. And don't forget, Project Zainab stands for improving families, not only our own families, your families, but also your communities. Thank you very much, and thank you for being with us tonight.